Well, good morning. You know, I sit here and sometimes I think about thinking, and then I think about thinking, and then I remember some things that maybe I just want to think about. Because I get a lot of questions sometimes on baptism. And there's so much crazy information out there about baptism, who should be baptized, why should they be baptized, and all of that. But we have a joyous occasion on this Sunday, June the 6th. Joshua and Laura Bell have a baby girl named Alice. And we're going to do the baptismal covenant for children who are unable to answer for themselves. Now, that's in our United Methodist hymnal, and it's page 39. You might remember a few years ago, we baptized their son, Jackson. Now, I had the honor and the pleasure of marrying Josh and Laura, oh gosh, some time ago now. It was right before we came to Bethel. It was interesting because we married them in a little Bethel Missionary Baptist Church up in Pavo, Georgia. And then I was appointed to Bethel United Methodist Church here in Tallahassee. It was pretty cool. Because I often wondered, I thought to myself, why is there so many Bethel churches? So then I did a little research, and then I found out that the word Bethel is Hebrew for the house of God. So I said to Phil one day, I said, that's pretty cool, Bethel, the house of God. And I loved talking with Phil, and we go back and forth, and we have the same passion for history and things like that, and it's really neat. But I was thinking again, and I was thinking that I remember when I was in seminary, I had a professor by the name of Herschel H. Sheets, and he taught us on a lot of the different doctrines and so forth, and he taught us about our sacraments in the church and a United Methodist view of baptism and communion. He was an EUB pastor many years ago before they joined with United or with the Methodist Church to form what we call the United Methodist Church. So he's always been very accurate, and he explains things very, very, very simply. So I thought, well, since I'm getting a lot of questions about baptism and different things like that, it might be good just to go back and look what Dr. Sheets was talking about when he took on the subject about baptizing children. And that's what we're going to do Sunday with Alice Lanier Bell. And it raises a lot of questions about who is suitable for the subject of baptism. And now there's some people who say, well, you're not old enough to understand what's happening, and you shouldn't be baptized until you're old enough to understand what's going on. And we respect that. But if you put limitations on it, and, you know, you're not old, da-da-da-da-da, you know, then when is it ever appropriate to be able to dedicate a person to God? And there's always different things about that. Some people say, well, you just dedicate and all that. You're not really baptizing them. But imagine what our impoverishment, if that was the case. Again, I think some would say that persons baptized in infancy are deprived of the feeling of being baptized. Now, we baptized a couple young men in our church since I've been here, Noah Henderson and Nate Henderson, and we took them to the pond for Nate, and we went to the pool of Donnie and Patsy White to baptize them. And I have never thought of my own children's baptizement in any other way. My kids were not deprived of something by being baptized as infants. Rather, they were given a gift, and since long before they were old enough to receive the believer's baptism, they have known that the mark of God's ownership was placed on their lives when they were tiny babies. I think that God's grace was claimed for them, and that now they knew they had a larger family than just the little Wrightstone family. They have known that they belong to God, They belong to the family of the church, and in that family they have been helped to arrive at understanding of their true identity at times and to open themselves up to God's redeeming grace. So how could they have been cheated when these riches have been so blessed to be theirs? And then, well, you have differences of opinion about some things. Still others have questioned whether children have a right to be baptized. And since they're incapable of making the decision of discipleship, a tiny baby can't make that decision to be a disciple, but the surrounding community of faith can. That's the importance of infant baptism. The church also makes a commitment to that baby. So here again, sometimes we have put too much stress on individual decisions and not given enough weight to the role of the church in the decisions of discipleship. So in one sense, one will always have the privilege of personal and individual decision. But for myself, I think that I can only testify that the family in which I grew up in the churches that had been influential on my life. My uncle was a United Evangelical Brethren pastor, EUB as we call him. So I was around that thinking in the church and he says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they go, and they get old, they won't depart from it. And I really know that since that decision was made for me many, many years ago. In fact, I just looked at my baptism certificate not long ago, and I still have it. I have the original. But children sometimes are not able to make promises to God, but the community of faith makes promises for them until they're old enough. And I hang on to that. I know that it happened in my own life. So I respect a lot of different thoughts and belief, and my whole thing is Christian philosophy is that if we can agree on Jesus Christ and who he is God manifested in the flesh. He came into this world through the virgin birth, that he took the faith and he took all the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of sin. And then he was raised from the dead on the third day. And then he went to heaven, and he promised to come again. Those are basically the five fundamentals of the faith. If we can agree on that, then we can agree to disagree on all these other things, because most of it is just man's thoughts and theology. But the United Brethren Church, in a confession of faith, puts it this way. We believe children are under the atonement of Christ as heirs of the kingdom of God, and they're acceptable for Christian baptism. Now, it is true that there are no definite or specific New Testament instances of the baptism of children, although we do read at the time for the families that were baptized in Acts chapter 16, verses 15 through 33, that it's reasonable to believe that there must have been children in some of those families, and since Christianity arose in a tradition that believed that children were part of the covenant community of God, that would have been natural for parents to have their children baptized along with them and when they entered into the church. Now, it's true that infants cannot make promises to God, but God has made promises to them and to us. It is the right of God's grace that it should be celebrated in their lives. And by that baptism, they should be brought into the community of faith through the new covenant that God had made for us through Jesus Christ. So because of God's promises, though, we don't rebaptize. And it's never called for. If baptism was primarily to make a promise that we make, then rebaptism would be in order, for we would forget or break or violate our promises to God. But if baptism is first of all promise that God's made, then rebaptism is not in order. Although we do provide what we call a remember your baptism service, because it's important. It would simply, and just to say, well, you know, I don't remember that, but when we do the rebaptism covenant service, we make our baptismal vows again. That's why Martin Luther, in the times of discouragement and doubt, found such comfort in remembering his baptism. Boy, I sure remember mine in a lot of ways. God had made the promise of forgive and cleansing and new life, but baptism is the seal of that promise. And we really don't need to do it again, but we can go through all the things and remember your baptism. I was immersed in a little Pentecostal Church of God sometime around 1986 or 87, right after I committed myself to the Lord and quit drinking and all that stuff. But it was a remember your baptism. So I experienced all the same thing of being immersed. But baptism is also thought in this way. The mode of baptism ceases to be an issue. United Methodists, accepting the practice of all historic modes, we believe in immersion, we believe in sprinkling, we believe in pouring, and each has its own symbolic value. So immersion is vividly dramatized in the dying and the raising up with Christ. Sprinkling speaks of cleansing, while pouring appropriately reminds of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And immersion is just a way of remembering that we with Christ died and we now come alive again with clean and a refreshing life. Well, I hope and pray that you found my little, discussion about baptism and why we do some of the things that we do. It's an honor for the church to participate in this sacrament, and it's good to understand it. Some people call it dedication and different things like that, but the nomenclature is really not important. It's what we do when we make a commitment to God and receive God's grace and blessing. Well, we hope and pray that you're all having a good day. Judy is recovering the best of her ability. She has some good days and bad days. She has one more treatment left, so keep Judy in prayer. And keep all the people in prayer that we have on our prayer line and the different ways. Tina got an email from Lon Wright today that Lucy is in the midterm with some of the dementia issues. So we pray for Lon, because it's hard being a caregiver for somebody that's going through that. So, and all the other prayers that we have, we might have. I don't want to make this too much longer, but if you're in need of prayer, call myself or Tina, the lay leader, or Phil. We'd love to pray with you and for you. But we always end this little particular pastor's thoughts and prayers with reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a God-blessed day.